Sunday. Side by side at the microphone, from the green light to the speed trap, Ray Garino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gas! With mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC-regulated airwaves. Thrilled to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Garino and Joe G. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway side. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
We are hot-blooded, our yards are flooded, and I can't think of another rhyme, but anyway, you know, you get the drift. We are here, live and in charge, doing a solo today on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, with your host, Ray Guarino. Joe D is out, and I did just see him the other day, and he wishes, he wants to express his well wishes and thoughts to the audience, say hi. He's still around. He just can't be here today, so that's okay. He's always with us in our hearts and thoughts anyway, and you are too. So if you want to get in on the fun, you can give us a call at 516-572-7440. That's the studio line. And in a little while, we're going to be speaking with Mr. Carl Anthony from Automoblog, automoblog.net. You can also check them on their social media sites under Automoblog. They are, it's a great, great, great site, and you'll see what happens when we get him on, because his, the topicality that these guys cover is like bar none, it's par excellence. But, I want to just take care of a little bit of business. We want to say happy birthday to a listener, our good friend G Rod up in PA, formerly from Long Island. He's turning a milestone birthday today, so happy birthday, Rod. Safe trucking, safe riding, safe all of that. Just keep the greasy side down and the shiny side up, as they say. And a funny thing happened last night. I got to go with some friends. My wife and I went with some friends to a Christmas party in New Jersey. Yes, we crossed the bridge. And I got to talking. The host of the party had said to me, you know, you got to meet this guy, my friend Ken, because he's a high school automotive teacher. And you guys have so much in common and blah, blah, blah. Well, I did meet him. Ken is a ATAP instructor at Old Bridge High School in New Jersey. And it ends up, as things would have it, you know, you never know how things are, you know, what's going on in life, especially with social media. And we were talking about the radio show and this and that. He says, hey, I think, you know, I've seen you. I think I follow you. Yeah, he's been following us on Twitter. And so, of course, and I said, yeah, I've seen your stuff and I've liked it because it's automotive. It's education. So, of course, that all plays in, you know, that all plays in well with me. We love that stuff. So we had a nice long conversation. And we're going to try and get Ken on the show one of these days because he's teaching the youth of America, which is fantastic. I mean, that's something that's, you know, something we have to pay forward. We have to be cognizant of that all the time. And he does it every day, which is great. So it brought up that whole thing about social media and how that's a tool. And so, you know, you can follow us on social media. We have our Twitter and Facebook page, our Motormouth Radio. And, of course, on Instagram, Joe's favorite, it's real_Motormouth Radio. And you can see what we do during the week when we're not on the radio. We post up pictures from the shops and different things, places we work and, you know, shops we work at. And if you want to keep up on what's going on our website, motormouthradio.com, you want to check the latest blogs page. We have some good stuff up there, very topical. We have the 2019 gifts for car and motorcycle lovers on your shopping list. That's kind of varied. We've been adding to that as we found new things, and there's a lot of good stuff up there. Or, you know, of course, running the gamut of price ranges from, you know, under $20 to like the Snap-on and Matco stuff, which is obviously over $20. And a lot of cool motorcycle stuff there, too. We just kind of stole that link from Gerard over at Rolling Thunder Cycles in Hempstead. So that was we just kind of borrowed that one. But because it's all good stuff, that's why. And actually, we have a link from Automoblog up there, too, with their gift guide. So it's all good stuff. We incorporate it all. Also, another article you may want to check out is which antifreeze color should you use for your car. It's an important topic. It's like transmission fluid and oil. We get asked about this all the time. And we've linked to an article up there that kind of clears that mystery up. And then we have a Winter Driving 101 tip. It's the complete guide to staying safe and ready on the road, which is very important as the weather changes and we're all out there on the highways and byways. And then there was a deal that I saw from Eric the Car Guy. If you follow him on YouTube, he put a deal up a while ago on Haynes manuals. They were half price and free shipping. I cashed in. I bought a couple of them. I don't know. And I heard that the deal was still intact. So I didn't check that myself, but I have it from good source. So that's something you may want to check. And then we have, of course, a link to Eclipse Sunshades because we had Marty Schult on last week from EclipseSunshades.net. It is .net, right? Let me make sure I got that right. I do believe so. And he has a discount code up there if you're a Motormouth Radio listener and lover, and you can get a Eclipse Sunshade at a discount this time of year. And they are great things. I have them in – well, the reason we had them on is because I have those things in, three of my own cars and in one of my daughter's cars, and they do work. You know, they work. If you go to EclipseSunshades.net. Let's double check that because I don't want to get it wrong. I do believe that's it. EclipseSunshades.net or just Google it. Eclipse, ECLIPSE, Sunshades, Sunshades with an S, and you'll find that link. So, those things work fantastic. They close back on the A pillar of the car. So it's not like those big, silvery, the ones that you have to unfold like an accordion. It never stay out, and then you got to throw it in the back seat, and then does it get crushed? Did somebody step on it? These things don't do that. They actually stay. They, like I said, they're mounted to the windshield, and they retract into, the left and right far end of the windshield up by the A pillar. That's what that pillar is called, but for you people who may not know. And they're just sitting there waiting for you. And when you want to use it, you grab the tab on each side, pull them together, accordion-like, right to the center under the mirror. They Velcro together, and voila. Now your car is protected from the elements. And I'll tell you, I've seen an easy 20-degree drop in temperature with that thing in use. So, check that out. We have a picture on our website, too, and it was on social media of I had my wife's car at the studio one day. I took a picture of it. So that's something you want to check out. And let's see. We had here's another little something kitschy. I was going to try and pull up the song, too, but it's No, I'm going to hold this. I'm going to actually wait on this because it's something we'll do later. I found it was an article on the year's list of dangerous toys, and I thought, because we all like toys, even us older guys, we still, there's nothing better than being in a holiday situation with his kids around, and you get to, play with the toys with them and help unbox. Yeah, we all like doing that, but let's face it, we haven't grown up. So the list of toys, I thought they were going to list, literally, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 names of toys and brands, and they didn't. They were kind of a little more generic. But the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, they put out a list every year, and this one is shorter than last year's, they said, so I guess that's a good thing. Companies are getting safer. The biggest concern is an old one. The biggest one on the list was balloons, believe it or not. Kids can both choke on and be suffocated by balloons, so that's one that continues to be a very dangerous thing for kids to play with. The next one is high decibel toys. That's another big concern. Two toys in particular, I have heard of neither of them. Hack Toys ATS Bump and Go 8-inch police car and the Kick Co toy gun blue light light up noise blaster. Well, that sounds like it'd be a bit of a disaster, if you will. They both come in on the list at 89 and 87 decibels respectively, and to put that in perspective, that's right around the noise level of either an industrial commercial type boiler room or a construction site. So to be for a kid to be exposed to that for a long time is for anybody, but especially for a kid, is bad news. Now, again, to kind of clarify that, sounds at or below 70 decibels or dB are generally considered to be safe, and any sound above 85 dB is more likely to damage your hearing over time. So, again, it's just, and I guess as a parent or someone who has a kid in the house, if you were to hear that kind of noise, you know, at 89 or 87 dB, I think you might want to intervene and say, hey, you know, shut that thing off. But I don't know. So they made the list. And the last one that they mentioned that was one of the worst was magnet toys. And they didn't elaborate, but they said they were a total no-no, understandably, because kids can choke on them. And if the magnets are swallowed, they can wreak havoc in the digestive system. So, you know, you wouldn't want to sit there and swallow magnets. It's like, you know, chewing on glass. But something you think you don't have to be told about. But again, they put out that list, and it's, you know, it's very true that they're looking out for kids' safety. Again, I guess you could look up the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, and you could find that and maybe prior lists and whatnot. And all. So anyway, if you want to get in, you want to talk, you don't want to hear me talk, you can call us at 516-572-7440. If you do want to hear more good music on this show, you can listen to Ritmo Latino Fridays at 11 p.m. It's a one-of-a-kind Latin mix show featuring the newest Latin urban mix focused on the young heritage Spanish speaker, mixed by Nassau Community College student DJ Jay Anthony. And he plays salsa, bachata, merengue, reggaeton, and a little of hip-hop, house, EDM, and R&B, all and throwbacks, all in that one show. So that's pretty darn inclusive, if you ask me. So if you that's Fridays at 11, you want to check that one out. And what else we got going on? It's the, of course, the holiday season. There's all the nuttiness going on outside. But it's still time to keep in line, keep, you know, looking at your car. You want to make sure you have the maintenance done on your car, especially now that the temperature's going down and we've had a lot of rain and we had some snow and we got some more coming. You know, we preach it here all the time. Tire pressures, just the condition of your tires. Your life is riding on these things. You know, I know we kind of sound like a broken record sometimes, but you really can't say it enough. You want to make sure that those, you know, now everybody has a TPMS or tire pressure monitoring system in their car, and that light comes on the dashboard, looks like a tire tread with an exclamation mark. That tells you, hey, the basically what it means is there's either too much or too little air in your tire. So you can be overpressured, which is just as dangerous in a lot of instances as being underpressured. So that's something that you definitely want to look into. But the thing to do is adjust that tire pressure. And as we know, as we've preached on the show, for every 10-degree drop in temperature, so if it's, you know, 40 degrees in the afternoon, it drops to 30, you lose 1 PSI of pressure. It's just that simple. It's a very simple ratio. And conversely, if the temperature goes up by 10 degrees, you gain 1 PSI in the tires because air expands. So the problem becomes when, let's say your tires are supposed to be at like 32 PSI, which is kind of common. Some cars are higher, but and some are actually lower with a sport tire. But if you're supposed to be at 32 and you're already like 3 pounds low, which is not uncommon. I mean, I see this all the time when I check people's tires. And now the temperature, like we've typically had, let's say it drops 20 degrees, which is not uncommon. The other day we had like, it went up to like 50 something degrees. I know because I was putting my snow tires on in a rain. It was like a nice 58 degree rain, but it was still nonetheless, you know, 58 degrees. And what I did is I aired them up, and I aired them up with an extra 2 pounds because I knew the temperature was going to drop into the 30s. So I kind of foresaw the 20 degree drop. So I took into account the 2 PSI and I made my tires, you know, 2 pounds more inflated. And sure enough, when I checked them the next day, they were right on the money, right where they should be. So on that 32 PSI tire that was 3 pounds light, now the temperature drops 20 degrees. You lose 2 more PSI. Now you're 5 pounds under. And there's thresholds. You know, I don't know. I can't give you exact numbers, But there are actual, you know, there's thresholds where tires just lose their grip, they lose their adhesion, and you need to, you need to keep that in mind because it's definitely, your life is on the line. Let's face it. It's just it's a safety thing. So keep that in mind. And if you need clarification, you can always call us, 516-572-7440, or you can get a hold of us through our social media platforms or send us an email at motormouthradio@ncc.edu. And we're very happy to reply. We always reply to our listeners who have questions like that. We like to kind of help them out. So that's the thing to do. Well, what we're going to do now is we're going to take our first break, and we should hopefully come back with Mr. Carl Anthony. And we're going to talk about, the stuff we got to catch up with him is going to be phenomenal. So let's go into the Badlands, so to speak, and we will come back and give you some more here on 90.3 WHPC.
Nassau Community College is here to support your goal to obtain a degree or certificate or enhance your skills to advance your career.
Several programs are offered at a convenient time on the weekend where you can attend classes Friday evening through Sunday.
In addition, you can complement face-to-face classes with distance education courses which can be taken online.
More information about the programs and courses that are offered on the weekend can be found by contacting the Office of Workforce Development and Lifelong Learning at 516-572-3554 or email weekendcollege@ncc.edu.
You can be the best at almost anything. Best stapler ever? Sure. Best impression of Ray Romano?
Deborah, I'm on 90.3 WHPC, yeah.
Okay, but only one can be the best radio station on Long Island. And you already know that 90.3 WHPC is the best. Now it's time to tell the rest of the island. The voice of Nassau Community College has been nominated for Best Radio Station in the Bethpage Best of Long Island Awards. And we need your help to be named Best Radio Station on Long Island. You can visit bestoflongisland.com and vote once a day now through December 15th. Please tell your family, friends, and even that neighbor you only sort of like and just say hi to every day to be nice. His vote counts too. Thanks for the help in letting all of Long Island know that we're the best radio station. And thanks for listening to 90.3 WHPC. This program is brought to you by Nassau Community College, which is a testing site for the College Level Exam Program, or CLEP exams. Looking to graduate on time or reduce the cost of college? Consider a CLEP exam. The College Board, together with the Modern States Education Alliance, offers online CLEP review courses at modernstates.org. Courses can prepare you for CLEP exams that are already accepted by 2,900 colleges and universities. Colleges and universities throughout the country use CLEP to award credits towards associate's and bachelor degrees. The New York State Department of Education accepts CLEP exams for teacher certification and New York City College teachers.
All right, we're back in the Badlands here at Motormouth Radio, and I think we do have a caller on the line.
Hey, Ray, how are you? Good to talk to you.
Carl Anthony, how are you, brother? It's great to have you back on the show.
Yeah, it's great to be back on the show, and I was kind of looking back at my call log into the studio, and it's been since August since I've talked to you.
Oh, my word. Well, I apologize for that. We definitely get, with a show only once a week, you get guests in advance, and then sometimes it's like feast or famine, you know?
Right.
They just roll on heavy, and you promise people spots on the show, and next thing you know, like 3 months, like in our world here, the last 3 months just kind of flew by in a haze, so.
Yeah. Well, the good news is Joe gave me extensive lessons, as you know, on air guitar, air drums, and air bass even. So I'm ready, Ray.
Excellent.
I'm ready.
Excellent.
Joe trained me well.
He did. You know, he trains us all well. And let's see. There's something we got here that I want to play for you because this was one of Joe's favorites. And this is something that he's trained us all in, and I've actually heard other people say it. Check this out.
Guys, we all know what new spells
never ever work.
That's right.
That is so true. You know, you put parts in a car, Carl, and it's, you know, I when he said it to me the first time, I was like, you know, you're right, because we've all had that experience where you put a part in a car or even in your house. It could be, you know, any service part you buy, and it doesn't work or there's a problem with it. It's like, well, yeah, it was new, but yeah, well, it hadn't been in service. Never, ever worked. So.
Right. It's so frustrating when that happens, you
right.
know. We're doing some research for an article we're going to be releasing this week on Amazon, and should you buy car parts on Amazon?
Oh.
And I'm kind of an old school guy, and a lot of people are here in Michigan, where if you need a part for your car, and you know, DIY type stuff, it's a Saturday afternoon, I'm going to change the oil filter, I'm going to put in that new sway bar link, I'm going to, you know, I'm going to do maintenance I can do on my garage. We always go down to the local auto parts store, and that's the way it's been for years and years. And then you've got online shopping, and so, you know, can you shop online? What do I look for? I mean, I'm going to order a part, but I can't hold it. I can't touch it. I can only see pictures online. So we've been doing some research for this article for a couple of months now, just kind of laying out, like, okay, if you're buying online versus buying in the store, like, what to look for. And how do you know it's a reputable part and it's not a fake seller, like it's not a knockoff, you know? So it's just, you know, that's a really good thing to bring up though, Ray, you know, just about parts. And I think guys, you know, they get them and they go, you know, I had that once long time ago. I had a 2001 Ford Ranger, really nice truck, and the power steering pump melted down. And so actually I got one from a Ford dealer. And, you know, put it in and did that. It was cold, you know, it was late at night, winter time, and the pump was actually faulty that the Ford dealer had sold me.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So it was it was quite a job. And I had it once with a starter on an old Ford pickup I had too, you know, so.
I see a theme here, Carl.
Yeah, right. I know. Right.
Yeah, it sounds like a Ford thing to me.
Right. What's that acronym stand for again?
Found on road dead.
There you go.
Right.
There you go.
Fix or repair daily.
Yeah, I like that one too.
Yeah. No, but the Fords are good products. You know, Fords have been around for 100 years. It's great stuff. But, you know,
yeah,
we've all been plagued with that with all sorts of vehicles, not only Fords. This article intrigues me because, like you said, we all do purchase auto parts, and we all do it in a number of ways now.
Mm-hmm.
And Amazon, you know, that's the thing. Amazon being the giant, my question is, like, where are they? Like, who? They're the distributor, but who is the actual seller? Where is the part coming from? Is it
right.
some guy's garage in Korea somewhere, or is it going to be
yep.
you know, somebody in Michigan? And I don't know if can you vet
right.
that out? Is it possible?
Yeah, we've done some research on that, and it looks like most are actually reputable. You know, that some of them that, you know, they're coming right from the part maker themselves, or just using Amazon's platform to sell. But there's some that are. You can't really verify the serial numbers, you know, and you can't really verify that it's, and we try to hit, like, we're going to include some screenshots, and we try to do like some basic everyday parts, like, again, oil filters and like stuff I'm going to do in my garage and that kind of thing, air filters, cabin air filters. We try to do simple, and then we try to do kind of maybe some more advanced stuff, you know what I mean? Like, so maybe some suspension components. We did some truck accessories, you know, so. I think there's just a lot of, you know, if I'm going to change, and like a lot of the people I know here in Michigan, you know, Michigan people, especially here, like in Detroit and downriver, like we know cars, you know, it's what we do. And so
oh, yeah.
we'll oftentimes fix our cars because it's a great way to save money. And so I think there's a lot of people out there that go, you know what, I can do some of this maintenance myself. If I shop online, it looks like I might be able to save even more money. But if it's one of those things that if the deal is too good to be true, it might be a bad part. It might be a faulty part. They put that part on their car. Okay, so at worst, there's a loss in fuel economy. But maybe it's worse, and it's a safety, you know, it's a safety thing too. Maybe it's shoddy brakes or something like that too. So we tried to just kind of give some advice. I mean, overall, it seems like shopping online is fine.
Uh-huh.
But we're putting this article together this week. We'll publish it later in the week, just kind of like what to look out for and laying out the pros and cons. Like, here's the pros of going to the auto parts store, which you've been doing for years and years. And then, you know, here's some of the pros and cons, just looking at both aspects. I'm still a brick and mortar kind of guy. I like to go to the store. I like to talk to somebody. You know, I know a couple of the guys behind the counter anyway. You know, mm-hmm. I like it when they, you know, Ray, they get the manual out and they flip through it. Like, I like that. There's a lot of reassurance, and that's still the benefit that auto parts stores have with people.
Yeah, well, the store that you frequent most, how long has that store been in business? Is it, and how old school is it?
Oh, my. It's down river. It's right on the border between Lincoln Park and Allen Park, and it's probably been there well before I moved here in 2013.
Okay,
you know, and it's like, and you can tell those guys behind the counter is cars is all they've known. So they do cars professionally, but they do cars as a passion. And when I was a service advisor and I was at the dealership and everything, all the technicians that worked at our dealership were like that. Even the guys in the quick lube, cars they did professionally for a job. And then when they would go home, they would fix other people's cars or they were working on something. So those parts guys are a lot like that too. You know, they've been around, they've done everything. You know, if you've got a question about an obscure part, you know, chances are they've either worked on it or they know somebody who has, or they've got some experience where, if you're shopping online, you don't really have that face-to-face component, which is important, I think, you know, when you're buying auto parts and things like that,
yeah.
You know.
You know, interesting that you mentioned that, because just yesterday, the day before, my good friend Kilowatt Kevin, his son needed an alternator on his Toyota. Toyota, was there a
high? Right.
Yeah, Toyota. And he asked me if I could get one from the, you know, if I knew a source. I said, okay, we have a rebuilder, but the local auto parts store, the brick and mortar store that I use, which has been in business since the 60s, I said,
right.
yeah, okay. So I got it for him. And we when we were out last night on the way to this Christmas party in Jersey, we talked about it. And he said, you know, I did check on Rock Auto and found it for a little cheaper. Now, I get the shop price. I get the mechanics price on the part.
Sure.
So I don't even know what they sell for over the counter. But Rock had it for maybe, 20%, 15-20% cheaper than that. And
right.
A lot of times price drives us. You know, we're all consumers.
Of course.
And he said to me, he had the key. He said, but I didn't tell you to hold off because with a part like that, you want to be able to go back to a guy. If there's a problem,
yes.
You know, and
that's just it.
Yeah. And then there's shipping. It's a heavy part. So I think we all have to temper our purchases with, you know, if it's a pair of socks or something small, yeah, you throw in a bag, you mail it back. But especially electrical
right.
components and stuff like that. Yeah. You want a brick and mortar guy. But
right. And the only thing we can find really in our research was, and we did an article on replica wheels like this a couple years back. And the really is sometimes you don't know because all you're looking at is pictures online. So our big thing in our research was price. If the price is too good to be true, if it just looks too good to be true, then it probably is.
And
you know, then you're probably looking at a knockoff.
Yeah, that pretty much goes for everything. I say that all the time. You know, if it looks too good to be true, yeah, it probably is.
Right.
Sometimes it's a happy accident, but you know, but not always. And again, like when you deal with those guys at the counter, you can dialogue things and you can, you know, cause me, a lot of times I'm buying stuff that's not made for the car it's going in because we have resto mods or we have hot rods,
sure.
or, you know, and
sure.
then you can explain to them, well, yeah, you know what? It's a 32 Ford, but it's got a small block Chevy in it. And it's the center bolt valve cover version of a small block. So the guys know that lingo. They understand like, oh yeah, I know the water pump you need.
Right.
Try that on Rock Auto. You know, it's so.
And on this side of the business, Ray, what we see is that, and we may have talked about this last time I was on the show, but data this year came out that for the first time, the average car payment has surpassed $500 a month.
Wow.
And it's sitting about $533 a month, which is about 10% of the median household income. And so this was a study done by Cox Automotive that did this, and they released a lot of this data over the summer. So as you can probably imagine, it will probably only increase in price from there. So what we're trying to do is for our readers is to try to give as much advice as we can on making the current vehicle that they have last longer.
Right.
So that does include service and maintenance. And, you know, you're talking about wintertime, right? And we do the same thing. You know, I always tell people, I'm like, hey, you know, if your tires are at 430 seconds, like, don't chance it and think, well, you know, I can make it through the winter or I can make it another month. Like, you're literally... So a lot of times, you know, yes, a new set of tires is expensive, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's a lot less expensive than trying to go out and buy a new car, you know. So we're seeing a lot of our readers and we're seeing a lot of people, you know, if they have a nice used car, hanging on to it and doing everything they can to service it, doing everything they can to get every last mile out of it, because these new cars, you know, $500 for the average payment is a lot of, it's just a lot of money, Ray. That's the trend that we're seeing right now.
That's more than my mortgage payment was on my first house. It was
right.
A small house, but no, you make some great points. And didn't you guys recently have an article about about buying used tires?
Yeah.
That's another thing. I know, I've done that myself. And I know other people who have done it. And, I caution people because the first thing I ask them about is, like, is your vehicle all-wheel drive? And if
right.
it is, you need to replace all four tires at the same time. You need to have the same tread on all four corners. But
for sure.
You know, but you still can buy a used tire because, you know, plenty of cars are in wrecks that have great tires, mm-hmm. and those tires can now be, instead of being shredded, let's, you know, give them another life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And the best used tires, that website that we worked with for that, I mean, we saw a lot of their engineering and testing and a lot of their quality control stuff and how they'll scrap out tires that don't meet that. But, and that's another one of those things too, you know, should you buy used tires? Mm. Yeah, but just watch the price, you know what I mean? Again, if it's a super low price, you know, and look on the tread depths. I mean, just make sure that the tread depths are high, but tires, again, are the single most, I mean, you know, we look at, you know, there's a AAA study that even slightly worn tires on wet surfaces at highway speeds, I mean, it takes you basically the length of an 18-wheeler to stop or the length of a typical school bus. I mean, so,
right.
And those critical seconds are really so, and same with brakes too. You know, I'd see a lot of people when I was a service advisor and coming up on winter, you know, and you'd stick the thing and you go, oh man, you're in the red 330 seconds. I mean, you know, so definitely, and I know we beat on it too, Ray, just tires and brakes,
mm-hmm.
you know, for safety, you know, and then again, you know, tie rod ends and wheel bearings and all that stuff too, you know,
oh,
that's
yeah.
all a safety component too. So make sure wintertime, you know, for listeners out there who are concerned, you know, what do I do? Have your vehicle inspected. When you get in for an oil change, just tell your mechanic, look, do a top to bottom on this thing and let me know what I need before the weather gets bad.
Right. Also, you know, then you could extrapolate and say shocks, struts. I mean, you can go down
yep.
the whole line. You know, also, I know Al Handy had mentioned this while to us. You can read the date codes on tires, and we do have a graphic up on motormouthradio.com. You can read that numeric date code, and you can see when that tire was produced. So, you know, in a lot of cases, if a car was garage kept and now those tires became available as used tires, they could look brand new, but they could be 10
right.
years old, you know,
yep.
and
yep.
that's something you may want to pass on as well and say, okay, you know, let's, so it was that, again, like, I think it was a suit company called Cy Sims that was up here by us. And he used to say, an educated consumer is my best customer because, you know,
right.
they know what they're looking for. But I tell you what, Carl, we need to, I'm going to have to give you hold you for a sec. We're going to keep in queue. We're going to take a break, take care of a little
okay.
business, going to play a new little promo that I clipped, and then we'll be back with more. So it's only about a minute, and hang with it. We'll listen to a little Cheap Trick on 90.3 WHPC.
I want you to want me.
Think all the great music has already been written. Think again. Hi, I'm Kim Tracy, and I will prove to you that great new music is still being produced today. Join me on High Fidelity every Sunday at 9 a.m. for a mix of music with a focus on new music and lesser-known artists exclusively on the Voice of Nassau Community College, worldwide on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, nccradio.org, and always on 90.3 WHPC.
Little Pigs, Green Jelly, the Rock Overdose, 90.3 WHPC. That was requested by one of the DJs who's been here for such a long time, Ray Guarino, who does Motormouth Radio on Sundays, 12 to 1 on 90.3 WHPC. Definitely got to check it out. Ray and Joe, really good friends of mine now. We did a remote recently. You know, I'm not a big car guy, but they definitely are. So if you're big into mechanics and stuff, then definitely give them a listen, because I know Ray and Joe, they definitely know what they're talking about. I wish I knew what they were talking about, but you know what? I might as I'll just keep hanging out with them. That way I learn a little more. 90.3 WHPC.
Yeah, we are back. Thank you. That's great. DJ, that's DJ Dr. Scholes who gave us that great drop. Carl, you see, we get crazy stuff from all over the place.
I like it. I was enjoying the Cheap Trick.
Yeah, yeah. I know. It's good stuff. Listen, we
have... That's really good stuff.
Since we're talking about what you guys have done, you you have a great article on the Automoblog site, on automoblog.net, on winter driving.
Yes, yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Absolutely, Ray. We put this out at the very beginning of this year in 2019, and the idea was is we kind of broke it down into sort of three essential parts, if you will. So more or less a vehicle checklist, as in here's four essential points about your vehicle that you want to consider. So when was your last service? Are there any existing safety recalls, which you can check through the NHTSA safety and recalls page, checking your tires, which we've talked about, and then making sure that your pressures are all good in your tires. After you've checked the tread depth, make sure you check the pressures. And then there's that vehicle checklist section, and then we go into basically some DIY maintenance things that you can do for yourself. So just keeping an eye on your coolant reservoir, keeping your eye on your washer fluid. Like, you don't want to be in traffic and they're kicking all that junk up at you and you realize you're out of washer fluid. Wiper blades are another one. So we go through kind of this DIY checklist, and then we do a section about what to put in your emergency kit. And the big thing that people always overlook is a paper atlas.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you ever get stranded somewhere, or you're going somewhere, you know, maybe to see family on vacation, you're going somewhere where you don't have cell service, or maybe you're not super familiar with the road, so make sure that with your flashlight, your jumper cables, and your extra water, that you do like Dad did or Grandpa did, and you shove an atlas in the glove box, because you don't always want to, you know, my dad had a CB radio for years and his old Ford Thunderbird. So make sure you have some kind of contingency plan like that. And then the last part of the winter driving guide, Ray, was just of the three parts that we broke it into, was just how to drive in snow and ice. And it's stuff we learned in driver's ed. So, you know, make sure you keep your eyes on the road, keep your speed down, you know, don't have your cell phone, always drive sober. Don't bank on traction control. Like, yes, traction control can do a lot. Four-wheel drive can do a lot, but as Joe would say, don't drive like a moron. You know, it's stuff like that.
Right.
So we kind of go through that, and then there's a small section at the end about if an emergency happens, like what do you do? And so the Michigan State Police tell us it's the steer it, clear it rule. So basically, if something happens, you know, come to a stop, get your wits about you, and then pull off to the side of the road, and then call for help. Stay inside the vehicle, activate your flashers. You know, if you're in an accident, you know, try to get away to a clear portion of the roadway. So our winter driving guide that's on, and I'll post a link up on our Twitter page today at Automoblog. I'll do that after our interview. Our winter driving guide goes through all of those kind of essential stuff, and it's completely free. So we don't, you know, so just take it, share it, whatever you want to do. But we have that out there for this time of year for people, because it answers a lot of the main questions that people would have on maintenance, vehicle checklist, how to drive in the snow, and then what to pack if you're going to take a long trip this winter.
Right. And if you go to, I mean, we thought it was good enough that we linked to it on motormouthradio.com. We put a link in our blog, on our blogs page. So people can find that and share it, because it is great information. So, yeah, you're right. That's all cool stuff. And, you know, another thing I want to add to what you had said, I keep a flashlight in my car, and what I did, I very rarely use it. I don't need it. So what I did is I put it in the console, but I left the batteries out of it. And I put, you know, I kept the two AA's on the side, because when the batteries are connected, there is a circuit form there, even though the switch is open, and those batteries will over time oxidize. It can happen when they sit on the shelf too, but it takes a lot longer. So that was just a little tip. This way that they may work when I need them, you know, because like I said, luckily with cars the way they are now, and then of course, you know, we tend to take care of our cars. I haven't needed it, so hopefully. And then, you know, now the other thing is cell phones have a flashlight in it, so you could always use that as well. But you're right.
You know, Ray, back at the dealership when I was a service advisor, so I always kept in my front pocket of my shirt, I always kept a tread depth gauge. I always kept a couple of pens, a notepad. Like, I was old school. Like, somebody would come in with a car and I'd flip out my notepad. You know, I was never really a computer guy. I was old school, you know, pencil in the ear and everything. But I had one of these LED lens lights, and it was about the size of a pen. And Ray, that thing had the most powerful bulb on it. And I, now that you say that, I should get one of those again.
Yeah.
You know, and it, I mean, it was dropped a million times, and the little glass on it eventually shattered. But, you know, somebody would pull a car in, or you'd pull a car up, and you'd pull that pen light out, and that thing would light up everything underneath the chassis. It was great.
Right.
You know, so having a powerful light like that, those things will light up a dark room in no time.
Yeah, they probably make an LED version. And actually on our website, again, we have the holiday gift buying guide. I made sure that we had posted Snap-on and Matco both have these small pocket-sized lights, and I own both of them. Matco man Brian hooked me up. We bought a couple from him too. They're great, and you know they usually have multiple beam patterns. Like there's a small beam on top, and then there's a wide beam on the side. The Snap-on one actually has a third setting, which is like a red laser. You know, so you can play with your cat. You know, of course. But, you know, some of them have a strobe feature. There's all sorts of different stuff. But those lights are like, even on the tool truck, it's like $20. It's like, you're not going to find anything on a tool truck that's less expensive than that. And myself and other people say, yeah, I'll take two, three, four of them, you know, give them away as gifts, you know?
Yeah. And, this, I'm looking at it, Ray, is this that magnetic slim bar, that work light?
You're probably looking, let's see, you're looking on the website on our page, right?
Yeah.
You're probably looking at, let me see if I can find that.
Oh, I see it. Pocket lights.
Yeah, it's a pocket light. Yeah, it's more of a rectangular deal. And,
they're fantastic. These are nice.
They are. And, you know, if you don't have a tool truck available, a lot of people don't. I mean, you could walk in, if you see we're on the street, you know, people should know this. You can actually go into a tool truck. You don't have to be a customer of this guy. You don't have to have a mechanic. You could, most of these guys will deal with you off the street, especially, you know, if you're paying cash. Or you can go on the website and you can buy the stuff online, you know? So,
that would be something to put in your glove box, you know, or in your center console, you know, for the wintertime. You just never know. Having a light like that, and those are more powerful than like the flashlights I grew up with.
We were using the D-cell battery, you know, that's of course, right? Hey, but you know what? We had what we had, and we're lucky we had that, so, yeah.
Right. You know, you'd have thunderstorm weather and growing up in the Midwest, and you did. You know, the big D batteries were charged, you know.
Right.
And you'd stick them in this big, like, lantern, like you're going to signal Batman. It was a huge thing, you know.
Yeah. But I tell you, lights in general, if you don't, some people are kind of afraid of the tool trucks. You don't have to be, but you go into a Lowe's or a Home Depot or an Ace Hardware, you know, True Value Hardware, they all have selections of LED lights now that are, you know, some are rechargeable with a USB cable. Some are battery powered that you can, you know, you just put a, you know, like a double or triple A in. Milwaukee has a line of lights that are fantastic. You know, Harbor Freight even sells some LED lights that I have a couple of them, and they're really, really good. You know,
so, right?
Yeah, they're
a big selling point.
Yeah, absolutely.
They're on every car today now. I mean, almost every new vehicle that you see released, the automakers will make a big deal about LED lights, and you know, and ambient lights too has really caught on like crazy. You know, there's, you know, 100 different colors and everything.
Right.
So, but yeah, there's more LED lights in vehicles, I think, than I've ever seen. And I think they do make a difference. Like, I mean, at night, like, I've driven some vehicles with some of these HIDs and LEDs, mm-hmm. these upper level lights. And I'm like, wow. I mean, it really does. It's a bright white light. I mean, it makes a difference when you get on out of the city and you get on some darker back roads. I think they make a difference.
Absolutely. Without a doubt. I know that our safety guy, he endorsed one of the things on that guide. It's a jump pack that you want to, you know, so you can jump
yes.
start a car. And a lot of those, I have a couple of them myself. They also typically incorporate an LED light with a multi phases, either, you know, various light, you know, brightness stages, and usually a flasher. Some have a red one that can flash as a, you know, precaution for the police to stop and help you.
Right.
As well as other stuff. So yeah, it's endless.
Good. That's a good gift for a car guy this time of year too, because those jump packs are nice. I have one, and it's mm-hmm. they're really nice. I mean, you know, it beats getting out the jumper cables. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, because it seems like when you go to jump a car in a parking lot, you can never get the right angle, or other people are parked, or your jumper cables aren't long enough. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're. You know, so sometimes, I mean, if you're a car guy and you know you carry tools with you, like if you have a tool bag with you in your truck or something like that. You know, those little things that, you know, those jump packs don't take up a lot of room, and they're super handy, you know, and and your battery always, like, your battery always, there's never a great time. Like, it's always the worst time when your car doesn't start, you know.
Of course.
It's always when you're running late, you know, and mm-hmm. you, so there's never an opportune moment. But,
no.
you know, if you're that guy in the family that everybody calls,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's a good holiday gift for a car guy, a jump pack, you know, because that's chances are he'll use that when a family member calls him in the middle of winter to, you know, to run out and give him a boost.
And the good thing is now they're all, I mean, the early ones weren't, but now they're all lithium ion batteries. So they last a lot longer. They're more stable. They provide the current that's needed over a longer period of time without dropping off fast. So they're just fantastic things. They're great devices. Like I said, I have two of them, and you know, you can't. You just got to remember, like every few months, you should go and just check the state of charge. There's usually a button you push, and it'll give you a bank of LEDs that light up 1, 2, 3, 4, whatever.
Right.
Because you don't want to get stuck. And like I said, the lithium ion lasts a long time, but they do need to be recharged after time. It depends how much you use it. You know, mine kind of sit. They're there for emergency purposes, so they don't get used that often. But yeah, very good. Excellent. Well, go on. What's that?
But one more thing, Ray, before we run out of time, I wanted to go back to this. I wanted to ask you this because you started the show with this about, you know, educating young people and getting young people into cars into skilled trades and automotive and things like that. So, you know, Hagerty has done a couple of studies now confirming that younger people actually are, in fact, into classic cars. And surprise, surprise, they love Chargers, they love Mustangs, they love Camaros, they love all that American iron from the 60s and 70s. And so, Ray, my question for you, because I really want your perspective on this, that trend, do you see that trend continuing? And then, you know, as automotive professionals, what can we do to ensure that, you know, these younger people – they see the same allure in these cars that we do. They see the same love that we do. I mean, you started the show with that, and I want to pick your brain on that.
Yeah, it's interesting because I have seen that. I have seen, and even where I work with some with students, and in the electronics area, so they're hands-on guys already. And I talked to them, and a good number of them are into cars, and a lot of them do like the older cars. And I always ask them, why? What's the, you know, is it just your choice, or is there, an influence? And many of them say, well, my father, my uncle, or whoever, my older brother. And that's the way it always was. I mean, that's how we all came up through the hobby. And it is still alive and well. Now I think with, the car hobby has changed. It's probably easier to rebuild or restore a car today than when I was doing it when I was a teenager in my 20s, because the parts weren't available.
Sure.
Now,
right.
What catalog? So, yeah, I think that trend is staying strong. It is. I mean, and many times often, as well as the guy working on his 6970 Charger, he's got a new one in the garage, too. So you get the best of both worlds, you know.
Right.
I have seen that. So I think I have hope. I'm holding hope. And then I do speak to the younger guys who don't want to have anything to do with the older cars, and then they extol all the virtues of the new cars. I'm like, yes, you're right,
sure.
you're right.
Sure, for sure.
You know, and they talk about why should I have to fight to get, like, you know, 300 or 350 or 400 horsepower out of an older car that's, you know, going to get me 8 miles to the gallon where I could drive my V6 Mustang and have three. I'm like, well, you're right.
Yeah, true.
It's the visceral. You know, and then we dialogue it back and forth a little bit, of course, because you don't want to be, you don't want to be accusatory. You don't want to talk down to them. But I dialogue with them. I say, listen, have you driven in one? Well, you know, I'll take you for a ride in my old car if you want to see what it's like. It's kind of like a whole nother ball game. And not for everybody, you know. But so far, yes. I think the short answer is I think yes, there is hope, and it's so far it's holding. So,
right. Well, I tell you what, when the weather gets nicer again and summer comes, and you go to some of the car shows around here in Detroit, man. You know, there's that one they do down in Allen Park every year, and Ray, that iron down there, it's all of Main Street, man, and
nice.
It's every classic and trucks too, and trucks get their own section and everything. I mean, you know, you see stuff from resto mods to old Mustangs from the 60s that look like they just rolled off the assembly line.
Right.
I mean, it's so cool.
Excellent.
You know, and then you'll get like an oddball El Camino in there or something, you know, and it's really, I love stuff. I mean, you're right. Yeah, they're faster. They're more fuel efficient. They're safer. I understand,
but you can't deny it. But hey.
Can't deny that.
There's still a place.
But there's something about seeing that old iron, you know.
Right, you're right. All right, we're going to see some iron now, Carl, because we got to run. I got to cut this and do a last segment, take a break, and then I thank you very much for coming on with us. I'm sorry it took so long to get you back, but I'll get you back again sooner. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, hey, it's always a pleasure. Merry Christmas, everybody, and I'll talk to you soon, Ray.
Thanks, Carl. Pleasure.
All right. Bye-bye.
So long. That was the great Carl Anthony from audibleblog.net. Check him out. Go to motormouthradio.com for the links for all the stuff we talked about. It's all up there. And we're going to take a quick break. Just a shorty, I want to play another quick little thing here. And we'll be back to close out the show on 90.3 WHPC.
You are listening to Motormouths, Ray Guarino and Joe D, a.k.a. the Vultures of Automotive Culture, coming your way every Sunday, right here on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC, from 12 noon to 1 p.m. These guys know their stuff. You got a problem with your car? Call in and the Motormouths will help you with the solution in a very informative and sometimes comical way. Every Sunday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., you can also check them out at motormouthradio.com.
Yes, we are Jive Talking on 90.3 WHPC, and that is Chris Switzer on cowbell, by the way. Don't let yourselves be fooled. Live read, and he plays cowbell, too, so this man is a talent.
Not at the same time.
Boy, you never said that in 12 years of doing a show on me.
No, but I have said this. 516-572-7440. Pick up the phone. Call us. For crying out loud.
That is true.
Come
that
on. True. Come
yes.
on. Standing here talking to Ray.
I know.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities, an occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the Voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
Yeah, we're holding it out here on Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, and we do have a caller. Let's try this, and this will say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, what's going on? So listen, I'm hoping you guys could help me out. You ready for this one?
And this is, I forget, not Steve, your name. What's your name, caller?
Rob.
Yes, I'm sorry, Rob. It's been a while since I talked to you. What's up?
All right, so 1995, Toyota Camry.
Yep.
2.2 liter, four-cylinder, left front caliper.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to the auto parts, like AutoZone or whatever, the caliper comes with the bracket or without the bracket. So I bought the whole caliper with the bracket.
Okay.
Okay? And I returned the other one to get my core charge. Right. I go to put the caliper on, and it's not working.
Why
it's not?
Not
fitting, is it? It's rubbing on the rotor.
Okay. So, did you check to see if the piston is compressed all the way on that caliper?
Yeah, it's all the way in. It's brand new. But it's. I'm wondering. Right. I mean, why? I've never seen they sold calipers with or without the bracket.
Yeah. No, it's common. It's common because a lot of the brackets get damaged. I've changed a few myself, and I've changed them. The caliper in the bracket, I've done it as one piece. But if you do split the two, you put the bracket on first, obviously. You mount the bracket. And then you put the pads in the caliper and mount that on. But if there's an interference, are the rotors new or are they have some miles?
The rotors are brand new. And this is the thing. I had rotors in the garage probably for 5 or 6 years in there. I'm wondering if the rotors that I bought 5 or 6 years ago were fatter and beefier than they are now and... Maybe it's not working because of that. You know what I mean? I don't know.
No, you're right. Now, what you do is typically on the rotor hat, there'll be a spec. And not always. I've seen where they're on there and I've seen where it's not. They'll usually tell you like the minimum thickness of the rotor. And you take a caliper. You can literally measure it. Maybe the rotors you got were incorrect at the time, or there might have been a problem. But yeah, I would again check that the rotors are seated. When you pull that rotor off on the hub, you want to clean all of that rust off because that'll give you vibration and give you some noise. And then make sure the rotor is seated. Make sure the caliper bracket is seated nice and firm. And then make sure that piston is pushed in. Check it again. And with the pads firmly seated, is it a matter of like, how tight is it that you can't get that?
It almost looks like the bracket is going to touch the rotor.
Well, they do run close on the inside. On the inside of the rotor, the brackets do run very close. I'll say that. But the thing to do is, if you can get that what you do? Put the caliper on without the pads, and then just put the slide bolts in, and just spin the rotor. See how that looks, and then go back and try. I think, I don't know. Without seeing it, I really can't say, but... I've never had one that I couldn't get on. I've had some that were very hard to get on, though.
Yeah. All right. So I'm going to give it a shot again. That's all. See what happens. Pull the rotor and see if there's anything rust or anything behind there. Maybe that little extra makes it sit, and that's it.
Exactly. A piece of rust could fall in there and just space it out. And you got to just check it again, give it a good look, and you'll probably find it.
All right.
Okay, Rob. Good luck. All right. Alrighty, that was, we deal with so many different brake problems. You never know. All sorts of crazy stuff can happen. The worst is these Audi brakes. I've done a couple of them recently, and I'm not really anxious to do more. To get the calipers apart is a pain in the neck, and they're just, it's just the specificities needed. Those Porsche brakes, another one is just, driving me kind of crazy. But the American cars and the Japanese cars, in fact, are usually very, very easy, very straightforward. They're not that big of a problem. So if you do encounter something like that, it's usually, it could be a part incompatibility. Like in Rob's case, it could be that the rotors were actually incorrect. I don't know where he got them from. But, even the parts guy, whoever sold them or whoever shipped them and boxed them, could have put the wrong parts in and there you go. So you can, what I would do is take the rotors, put them inside to inside face, hub facing out, and look at the diameter. Make sure that the diameter is the same. And like I said, you can check the specs. They don't tell you what the maximum thickness is, but they do tell you a minimum thickness. That doesn't hurt too much. But if you measured the ones that were on the car, you could take a measurement of the new ones, and obviously the new ones should be thicker because they're brand new. And then just make sure something stupid like if they went on the car, that then the hub spacing, the bolt spacing is right. I was going to say, even check that because they could be for the wrong car. Just like Joe said, where are we? This is, we have two of these. It's so true. It's, that there's, let's see. Let's try this. Is this the same one?
Guys, we all know what new spells
never ever worked.
That's right.
And it is so true. It was something that never, ever worked. It wasn't on a car. We return stuff all the time at the shop. There's parts, and a lot of brake calipers go back. Rebuilt stuff, and we don't deal with too much new stuff, but some of the rebuilt, reman stuff from major manufacturers, major places, we send them back quite a lot. So due to leakage or due to, you know, cracks and all sorts of crazy stuff. So, yeah, you can't assume that just because it came in a nice box that it's going to be good. Anyway, we're just about out of here. We're going to roll out Motormouth Radio for this week. And stay tuned for Kim Tracy on Thunder Road with all the best of Bruce Springsteen. Next week, we should have a guest in the studio, Mr. Terry Wilson. That's Terry LS Cover Man. Look him up on YouTube and on social media platforms because he is a great LS guy. He'll tell you all you need to know about LS engines, how to build them, modify them, and hopefully he'll be with us next week. Keep it where you got it. We'll see you then. 90.3 WHPC. Bye.